How many's ever felt that you were just alone? It might be because you were alone because nobody understood you, you thought. It might be because you were alone because no one backed you up and supported you. Do you ever feel that? It might be because you were felt alone because you were physically alone. Paul was alone. He didn't think about killing himself. He didn't think about quitting. He didn't think about bailing out. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He was just simply and plainly alone. Listen to what he has to say. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. At my first defense, or in his first hearing, no one stood with me. Does that sound alone? But all forsook me, may it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, Paul was not in a lion's den, but Nero was called the lion, the emperor of Rome. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is really easy to give up and quit and abandon the things that God wants to do in your life when you feel alone and you're facing obstacles. It's really tough at times when people seem not to even care. Or they'll look at you and say, well, man, I've heard that from you for years now. When are you going to shape up? Paul went before the emperor. And everyone that was with him walked away. A few verses earlier, he says, Demas has forsaken me, loving the things of the world. So Paul, at that moment, was looking at who was not with him. You can spend your whole life at looking who's not with you or who's not supporting you instead of looking at the one that is with you and the one that is supporting you. We can feel our whole life feeling a spirit of abandonment. That's not from God.
That's right.
Seems like I read somewhere he'll never forsake us or leave us. Is that kind of true?
Yes, sir.
And so we come to a place where we expect a lot of things from other people. But look at me. Husbands, your wife cannot make you happy if you choose not to be.
Right.
Husbands, wives, your husband can't make you happy if you choose not to be. Your husband was not given to you to meet all your needs, and your wife wasn't given to you to meet all your needs. We go through a lot of issues. That in the bottom and the core group of the issues is we become selfish. We become controlling. We become to a place where if people aren't with me, if people aren't helping me, if people aren't ministering to me, then I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm not going back to that church. And Paul looked at his friends, his followers who had abandoned him, and he said, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Almost everyone doing something for God has had somebody betray them. Somebody abandoned them. somebody who they thought was close to them and would stand up for them, leave them. You act like you're in a state of shock. So you want me to preach something better? I got a few more in my head. I can kind of change it and make you happy. This is not a beat-me-up message, and this is not even a message to make you sweat. I'm going to teach you how to overcome all the things that's affecting you negatively. How about saying, bring it on, Pastor?
Bring it on!
Because there are so many things that affect us negatively that we don't see the positive. And so Paul says, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. What did Jesus say from the cross? Father, forgive them. What did Stephen say as he was being stoned? Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. So there's people that have hurt us, have abandoned us, have treated us despicably at times that we simply need to let go. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them. Doesn't mean you have to pick up their meal ticket. It just means that you no longer let them control your life and dictate your future.
That's right.
Every single person here has someone you look up to. If it's not God, they'll fail you. How many heard that?
Yes, sir.
How many's already been there? How many can say amen?
Amen?
But the issue is not that they failed you. The issue is how did you handle it? How did you let it infect you or affect you? How did we come to a place like the Apostle Paul and said, Lord, don't hold this against them. Very interesting. So Paul goes on to say, but the Lord strengthened me. Now look at this, because I'm going to show you a few more of these. But the Lord stood with me in verse 17 and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and all the Gentiles might hear. Have you stopped to think that the Lord might have a purpose for your life beyond getting our feelings hurt? Can't hear nothing. Have you stopped to think there might be a greater purpose that God has designed for your life than getting your feelings hurt? God never abandoned Paul. When you went through the hard time, God was the same place he was when Jesus was on the cross. The same place when Stephen was stoned. The same place when John the Baptist was beheaded. The same place when Paul was beheaded. God was there. And God strengthened Paul because he had a purpose for him. When we do not realize God's purpose in our lives, we're subject to a lot of fears and anxieties and worries and frustrations and anger. Because when we don't have God showing us his purpose, we're looking for people to show us theirs. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Paul's purpose was to minister the gospel. Paul's purpose was to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. The purpose hasn't changed in your life. When we will not allow any attack of Satan to interfere with what God has called us to do, you're walking in victory.
Amen.
No matter what it looks like, no matter what you even feel, no matter what is happening to you, when you are fulfilling the purpose of God, there's no defeat in your life.
Amen.
And at times that's hard. How many remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? Paul prayed about that 3 times. How many times did Jesus pray in the garden? 3 times. 3 is kind of an interesting number. How many disciples was in Jesus' core group? 3. And so Paul says, I sought the Lord 3 times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That this would be removed from me, but God spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, therefore, most gladly I will glorify in my infirmities, for when I am weak, say weak. When we recognize we need God, when we recognize we want to be in His presence, then I am strong. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. I was going through scriptures this morning, just thinking about what was happening. In Acts chapter 20, look at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Okay, look at me. It's okay to cry out to the Lord. It doesn't mean that you wake up every time somebody attacks you and sing, I woke up this morning feeling fine. You won't even know that song, but Tim would know it. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul. We always have the joy in our soul or in our spirit. But there are things that hurt us, okay? God made you with some emotions. At least some of you had some. I don't know if anybody's with me now or not. I'm starting to feel abandoned. No, I kept nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly, from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Our message is God loves you, therefore let's repent and let's receive the goodness of God and walk in that faith. Testifying, and see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. How many of you have to see the clear picture before you step out in faith? When we see the clear picture and we step out, is that faith?
No.
Okay, just asking. If I have a Bible in my hand, do I have to have faith that I get a Bible? Don't need it. except that the Holy Spirit testifies. I don't like this verse, but I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to duck it. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Question. How many of you are going to serve God this afternoon if you knew chains and tribulation awaited you? Do you know what chains mean? Imprisonment. Tribulation means time of pressure and stress. This is a verse that caught my attention. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, saying that I'm so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know, people look at Paul and say, well, he was just superhuman. No, he wasn't. They look at Paul and say he was handpicked and God was with him and God's favor rested on him and God was just protecting him. Really? This is a loaded question, but how many of you have been stoned? I don't mean stoned the way now. How many?
Took me a minute.
How many of you have been hit with rocks? Not rocks of cocaine, but rocks. How many of you have been whipped, beaten? So Paul was saying, I don't even count my life dear. But I want to finish the race. And he writes earlier, I've kept the faith, I finished the race, I finished my course. That I may finish my race with joy. How many of you would allow the Lord to make you joyful if that was his intention for your life? Is there anybody here that would say, I want to live in the joy of the Lord? Two, three, four, five, six. You know what most people would ask? Well, what does that involve? There are times we do not allow the Lord to be Lord in our lives.
That's true.
How many has ever quoted Philippians 4:13. What does that say, Barb? Really? How many of you had that attitude? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One. How many else? We're not having a lottery. You don't lose. How many of us can come to a place of saying honestly that no matter what I face, I can go through it because God is standing there and God is strengthening me and God is encouraging me and God is helping me and I can go through it no matter what. Can I tell you something? You're not in danger of falling off a cliff. You're not in danger of making a wrong decision and God's going to disown you. I'm not preaching extreme eternal security. I'm saying we have to have confidence in the strength of God to lead us and to help us and to undergird us and to stand with us even when we feel nobody else is.
That's right.
Back to 2 Timothy. Verse number 18 of chapter 4. How many have a little confidence in God today? How many of you had some confidence in God? How many have a lot of confidence in God? How many are wondering who God is? I like what Paul says here. He's closing out this. People tell us that this is the last book that he wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit before he died. So he's coming to the end. And he says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory." The Lord will deliver me and preserve me. I was sitting here this morning debating whether I should go home and take Puppy out or let Judy do it in the rain. And across my mind came a prayer, "This too will pass." But I was sitting there. It might not be from God at all. It might just be a mental breakdown. But I heard in my mind that God preserves us even through death. God will deliver us and preserve us for his heavenly kingdom even through death. He will deliver us. But how do I come to a place as Paul, where Paul says that my life, that Jesus may be magnified in my life, whether by life or death? Now look at me. Some of you, some of us, all of us have some strong attachments to life. We have children, we have grandchildren, some of you have great-grandchildren. We're not ready to pack up and leave and go to heaven right now. But would it be that bad? The Lord is going and is and will always deliver us from every evil work. God's not promising Paul something he won't promise to us. The problem with us compared to Paul, and with us, I'm talking about me. With the problem with me compared to Paul is that we at times are not willing to face evil head on. Every evil work that Satan's doing in your life, we need to challenge the devil.
Amen.
We challenge him. We don't just cave in and say, "Oh, whatever, let it be." We challenge him. I'm going to give you a couple keys on how to be an overcomer. Every single one of us must be, say must be.
Must be.
Say I choose to be. Aware of the glory of God in our lives. We need to come to a place where we urgently, continuously desire to be in that awesome presence, glory of God, and we choose to be. Look at me. Don't sit with your heads down. Every single one of you need to have a place where you're alone, where you go spend time with God. We have become so casual in our relationship with God that 80% of believers never spend time talking to God unless we have an issue. Every one of us, this is my secret place. That's my secret place. That's where I come. That's where I spend time. That's where I hear from God. That's where I get lifted up. That's why all you bunch of headache, oh, I'm sorry, all you wonderful people. I'm joking. When you have needs are being prayed for. But I'm going to tell you something. We miss the glory of God and His manifested presence because we don't take time to be with Him. People ask all the time, well, how come we just don't have revivals like they had in the 30s and the 40s and the 20s and the 10s? Because the secret place has been done away with. And we don't take a specific place at a specific time when we can and seek God. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Sometimes prayer is amazing when you don't talk.
Amen.
Because we just sit and allow His glory to saturate our lives and our presence. Try it. I'm learning that. I should have been telling you this years ago. Last night I came here and then I felt I needed to go and mow some grass and I got home and somebody had done it. See what the secret place does? And somebody had mowed our lawn for us. And so I took Puppy and I put him on one of the chairs outside on the deck and I sat in the other chair and just spent about 45 minutes not doing anything, but just communicating with God. And listen, I need more of that. I'm not there yet. I don't have a handle on it. But there's something about being in the presence of God and allowing His glory to touch us that changes our perspective.
Amen.
Summer's coming. Try it. Take your lawn chair or take your deck chair or take your cabin chair or take your milk stool. You don't have them anymore, do we? Man, that was fun, sliding off the milk stool. But whatever it might be, get close to God. There's something amazing that I've discovered in the last few months that I should have been doing for years. Of just sitting, not even coming with an agenda. Just sitting in the presence of God and how that lifts. How that lifts. Number two. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In that secret place, just allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Sometimes God's going to pray through you with tongues. And sometimes He's going to give you dreams and visions just to pray. And it's amazing how that works. I sat in that chair last night just praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And the Lord had already given me the message, so I would just say, God, please let people catch this. Let us see it. Because what used to be the mainstay of the charismatic or Pentecostal church is now on the back burner. And the charismatic Pentecostal churches are more concerned about being accepted by people than pleasing God. I've come back to some of the old-time stuff, not doctrine, not teaching about that, but just going through the Bible and saying, God, what are you telling me? Pray it out. It's amazing. Pray it out. How many, when you get a bad report, stay awake most of the night thinking about it? How about try praying in the Spirit? Letting God handle it.
Amen.
National Guard used to have a statement that we could sleep tonight because they're awake. Well, you can sleep tonight because God's awake.
Amen.
I got one more. Number three. Ask the Lord for boldness. Some of that's going to come when you're praying in the Spirit. Acts chapter 4. I got to find my scripture. 29 through 31, Jason. Acts chapter 4, 29 through 31. The disciples were threatened. And as they were threatened, they came back to the people. Good. And this was their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. You want to put the next one up? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Let me ask you a question. How many have been like me? God told you to say something, do something, and you just kind of shut up. We don't want to offend anybody. My thoughts. What if they don't listen to me? What if they laugh at me? What if they don't become my friend anymore? Let me ask you a question. If you've ever been told to speak to somebody about their eternal life and you missed it and that night they died, that's when you get beat up. I've had that happen to me. In this place with the Lord, as the Holy Spirit is working in us, we draw an obedience to God, where God, my main desire is not what people are going to say or what they're going to think. My main desire is that you love me and I love you and I want to please you. whether it's praying for the sick, casting out a devil, whatever it might be. I was talking to a young man yesterday morning, real early in the morning, up in the hills. And I haven't really known him that well. I got to know him yesterday. And after I had done some business with him, he said, "Pastor, come have a cup of coffee." So we went in and sat down. He started telling me how he got saved. He said, "I worked with this guy, and he was just a Christian, and every day he'd say something to me. He'd talk to me. He wouldn't force it on me, but he just talked to me and talked to me and talked to me and talked to me. And then he challenged me to read my Bible. So one day I picked up my Bible and started reading, and pretty soon I was reading my Bible, reading my Bible, reading my Bible. Pretty soon I couldn't put it down." He says, "I'm not totally sure when I got saved, but I'm saved." The boldness of the Holy Spirit is not rude or combative or confrontational unless you're dealing with Satan, but it will look people in the eyes and tell them God loves you and you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to believe that God saved us for purpose. And I know, and we've heard, "God, we want to glorify your name. What do you want me to do, Lord? I just want to glorify your name." I understand that. But how do we glorify his name? By being mute? We do not have to kick doors down. Say that with me. I don't have to kick a door down. But I need to walk through the open ones. Amen?
Amen.
I don't have to kick a door down. God will open the door. But I need to walk through it when he calls me. I'm done. But let me challenge you with these three little things. Number one, get in a place where you have to be in the presence of God. I have to be in that glory. I need my godly fix this morning. I don't like to put it that way, but maybe you'll get it. I need it. Guys, that's more important than your first cup of coffee. Boy, that brought a bunch of boos. Mark, that's more important than your first cup of coffee. I don't drink this stuff. Number two, get in that place and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. The Bible says he prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes there's words. Number three, my prayer is, God, take the chicken out of me. Buck, 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 buck. Take the chicken out of me. Because preachers get afraid too. God, I just want to glorify your name.